Continue our look at the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 will be our text for the evening, verses 5 through 9. We'll talk about growing a church tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. And Trey, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to give you a formula. A formula that is absolutely foolproof. A formula that will guarantee church growth. A formula that will guarantee growth in our Bible study classes. I guarantee it. And if I were to market this, man, I could be one rich preacher. Because every preacher in the United States of America would buy a book about this one thing. I mean, you look at the bookstores, it's filled with that. How to build a church, how to grow a church, how to win souls. And the bookstores are full. And Paul gives us the formula or the combination of things that have to happen to grow a church. Here it is. Number one, remember who God is. Okay? Number two, remember who you are. And number three, remember who you're working with. Now that's the whole message. Three short and sweet points. We begin with remember who God is. Okay? First statement that I want you to grab before we go any farther, I want you to come to grips with this statement. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. Okay? You see, the church at Corinth had lost sight of who they belonged to. They were split into factions. There were those who had been saved under the teachings of various ministers, and they were claiming superiority based on who they were saved under the teaching of. Some said Paul, I'm a Paul, others Apollos, and others Cephas, and others Jesus Christ. And they had all these little segments, and the idea behind what they were pushing were they were better than the other segment because who they were, the teacher that they had set under. Paul is reminding us and reminding them, no, you've lost sight of what we're all about. You know, as I thought about this, it's really easy to enjoy the blessings of God, isn't it? And it's really easy to enjoy those blessings of God and along the way get to thinking that somehow we're a little bit responsible for those blessings and to take ownership. It's so easy. We think we know what's best for the Lord's church. I mean, even as, and I'm talking to all of us, okay, pastors included. We think we know what's best for the church. We think our desires are God's desires. You ever think that? I mean, we could never be wrong, right? God, He thinks like we do. Even as a pastor, I've had to learn through the years that the church does not belong to me. That I'm not in control of the church. And I've learned through the years that I don't want to be in control of the church. You know? Because it's the Lord's church. Bought and paid for according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Paul reminded them, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Jesus Christ bought the church. It belongs to Him. We have no right to get a feeling of superiority or a feeling that the church cannot survive without us. Those things are just a trap of the devil. The one thing a church cannot survive without is Jesus Christ. It belongs to Him. Remember who God is. Owner and operator. And responsible for all the blessings that will take place in a church. That's why Paul said, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers? That word minister, same word that we get our word deacon from. It means to be an administrator or a servant. Paul, all Paul was a lowly messenger boy. You know, sometimes we get to studying the writings of Paul and we lift him up probably a little bit higher than we should. He was just a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said in chapter 4, verse 1, let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He was just, as a servant, that word servant there means an assistant. He was just a lowly assistant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that Paul always seemed to remember was that it was not his work. It did not belong to him. Which reminds me that we should use great caution, because do you realize we're working with a work that does not belong to us? It belongs to Jesus. Remember who God is. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two, remember who you are. You are a lowly worker, right? Paul said, he told him, I think it's verse 9, they said, you're God's field. He viewed himself as just a farmer or a worker in God's field. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. He came, we consider where Paul went, the city of Corinth. Corinth was not a good place to be. It was a wicked, ungodly, worldly center of trade that attracted every undesirable hoodlum that was in the area that would pass that way. The name Corinth became synonymous with moral depravity. And the most prominent structure in the city was the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Okay? Where that temple was responsible or employed 1,000 temple priestesses, which were basically temple prostitutes, and they would descend on the city each evening, selling themselves to the men of the city and the strangers or the passer throughs. And Paul went there and he began to plant the seeds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a city that probably most of us, had we made a mission trip, a survey trip, would not have chosen Corinth. It was just too rough, too bad of a place. I mean, but Paul went there and began to plant the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people began to respond. And he established a church there. Now, what I want you to get from all that is this. For there to be a harvest, somebody has to plant. Okay? I farmed growing up. Every spring we'd get out the tractors and the plows and the planters, and boy, we'd go to work. And it wouldn't matter how much we plowed the field, or how many times we ran over the field, it would not matter until you pulled a planter over that field and put seed in the ground. Okay? Now, planting is not, it's not the pastor's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not your Bible study teacher's job. It's everybody's job. Okay? Pastor, Bible teacher, deacon, every one of us that are here, if we're going to be successful in ministry, if Victory Missionary Baptist Church is going to be a force in this city, then you and I are going to have to realize that there is no harvest unless there are plantings. And you and I have to plant. That's our responsibility. That's why God has placed us here. Paul said, I planted. That's our job also. Then we get to Apollos. Apollos, it says, watered. And what that's talking about, he's referring to the teaching ministry there. In the Great Commission, we're told, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. May we never as a church lose focus that the center of the teaching ministry of this church is the Word of God. Amen. Our goal is the education of our children in the Word of God. It is the education of our adults in the Word of God. As a pastor, I have nothing to say. But God has plenty to say from His Word. Okay? Let this never cease to be the focus. Not only are we responsible for planting, we're responsible for watering. Okay? We're responsible for the teaching. And went to a Bible conference with Brother Michael here a few months ago in Dallas. There was a pastor from a church at Nashville who was speaking. And that night he was speaking, or that day he was speaking, he got to talking about a new young couple's ministry that his church had started. On Tuesday nights, it was just a Bible study for young couples. And he got to talking about how those young couples had responded and how it had just grown from a handful to hundreds of people that were attending that Tuesday night Bible study every week. And he was trying to figure it out. Why was that so popular? And he come to the conclusion, he made the comment, you know, that oftentimes we think people in the world today can't handle the truth of the Word of God. And that's just wrong. People want the truth of the Word of God. He said, what we have to do and our responsibility toward people is, they want you to read it to them. They want you to tell them what it means. And they want you to tell them how to apply it.
Amen.
Very simple. Okay? They will not settle. People of today will not settle for religious gobbledygook, you know. They don't want to be made good Baptists. They want to know what the Word of God says, and they want to know how to apply it to their lives. And I still believe with all my heart that the Word of God is just as effective as it's ever been.
Amen.
We just have to teach it faithfully. We're not trying to make Greek scholars. We're trying to grow individuals who know how to take the Word of God and apply it to their lives. That's life-changing difference. We have a responsibility to plant. We have a responsibility to water. But God gives the increase. That word increase in the Greek literally means to cause to grow. Have you noticed that you can't make something grow? Man, I'll tell you what, I've preached messages before that I just knew that was a humdinger of a message. You know? And at the end of that message, I expected the altar to be filled and people just to be waiting in line to shake my hand and get saved. You know? I just thought it was that kind of message. And we got to the invitation and the music director came up and he began to lead. And the folks just stood there. And I thought, What? Man, I preached my heart out. They should be responding. And then it dawned on me. It's not about me. I'm not the one. It's my job to plant. It's my job to water. And it's God's job to make it grow. You may say, oh, Brother Doug, I've been planting. It's not been doing any good. I planted. And it's not doing me any good. Matthew 16, I think it is. Where the parable of the sower. You know, he sowed some. And some fell on the hard ground. The path. That is, and the birds came and ate the seed before it could take root. Then others fell on thorny ground and the thorns choked them out. And others fell on stony ground where they had no root, so they sprung up and the sun the sun burn them up, basically. All examples of planting that didn't work. But there was one. There was one planting that did work. Some of the seed, it says, fell on good ground. And they brought forth fruit. Some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Listen. It's God's job to cause it to grow. You never know where you're planting. It may be the stony ground. It may be the thorny ground. But I guarantee you, if you continue to plant somewhere along the way, you're going to scatter some seed on some good ground. And that good ground, God will cause to produce fruit. You know, planting is not just about occasionally throwing out a few seeds. It's about faithfully sowing every day that we live. I think that oftentimes we become discouraged because things don't grow quite like we think they should and things don't go like we think we should. We need to remember who we are. It's our job to plant. It's our job to water. But it's God's job to give the increase. And I've always found that at just the right time, when things are right, God gives the increase. Amen. In His own good time. Number one, remember who God is. Number two, remember who you are. Number three, remember who you're working with. Okay? Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. Now that just sounds important. We are God's fellow workers. Meaning, that word fellow workers means working together with. Do you realize the wonderful job that you and I have? We're working with God. I mean, you might think somebody important if they introduced themselves and said, I work for the President of the United States. Or I'm a senator. I'm a congressman, whatever. But listen, do you realize according to the Word of God, according to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, you are working together with God Himself. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And the work does not hinge on what you do or your abilities, your capabilities. The Word hinges upon your faithfulness in sowing and watering. And it depends most of all on God giving the increase. You know why church works? Church works because of who the boss is.
Amen.
I mean, let's face it. And here tonight, we have a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different likes and dislikes. How is it that week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Awana after Awana, teen ministry after teen ministry, college ministry after college ministry, on and on. How is it that we continue to serve the Lord together? Because there's one binding factor, and that binding factor is God Himself. We work for God. Sometimes we lose sight of that, you know. We get to working for other reasons. That'll never work. Remember who you work for. Remember who God is. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In closing, I'm going to offer you this. Jesus Christ died for you to pay your sin debt. He died because you're a sinner. And that was the only hope that you had of escaping eternity in hell. So Jesus Christ went to Calvary, gave His life so that you could live forever. How? By simply calling upon Him. You see, your sin debt had to be paid. Jesus said, I'll pay it. Have you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Maybe you're here and you haven't been the servant that God has called you to be. The fields, you know, are all around you. You hadn't been sowing many seed. Maybe it's time for a rededication. Whatever your spiritual need is, I ask you, listen to Jesus and respond. Remember who your boss is. Listen and respond. Would you stand? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, we thank you for this formula for church growth, is this formula for success, for your honor, for your glory. Help us to remember, Lord, it is our job to plant. It is our job to water. Oh, but Lord, your job is to cause it to grow. No one can take your place. The work means nothing without you. But there's such a joy that you have privileged us to be a part of your great kingdom and your great kingdom work. Now we come to the invitation, Lord, I pray that you will move among us as you see fit, convicting, directing. Help us, Lord, to respond to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.